You're listening to the Mission Church Podcast. Each message comes from our Sunday morning gatherings where we worship in community, study God's Word, and grow in our faith together to the glory of Jesus Christ. The Mission Church is committed to helping each person belong and believe and to equip them to embrace the call of God upon their life. We pray these messages will build your faith and encourage you today.
I want to go to Genesis 1 because right there in the beginning, we're going to see something. We're going to see God's will. Just as I told you tonight, you are in the center of God's will being here tonight. That's a cool thing to know. Like, wow, what I'm doing right now is exactly what God wants for my life. That's a cool thing to know. And here in Genesis 1, we're going to find man in that place, where he was in the center of God's will, where he was right where God wanted him to be. And so take a look for me, if you will. Chapter 1, verse 26, follow along as I read. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." You'll notice the plural pronouns for God there. What does that mean, "let us make man in our likeness"? What are we talking about? The Trinity, right? We're talking about God the Father. We're talking about God the Son. We're talking about God the Holy Spirit. All three involved in creation. All three involved in making and fashioning you. All three involved in calling you to themselves. Three persons, one God. Not three gods, one God. And this triune Godhead says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." What an incredible privilege. What an incredible honor. And I know that we live in a world that wants to beat the snot out of us and make us feel like we're not worth much, but I want to bring you back to the center of God's will this evening. And I want us to remember what God said. God said, "Let us make man in our image." You are the highest order of God's creation. And that's a pretty cool place to be. And look what he says. Let's make man according to our image according to our likeness, and let them have, read the word for me, say it with me, let them have what?
Dominion.
Dominion. Say it again.
Dominion.
Dominion. What does it mean?
Master.
Rule, authority, control, ownership, stewardship, responsibility for, right? Let them have dominion over what? Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over what?
All the earth.
Every creeping thing creeps on the earth. And so God created. The word created there is bar. God created man in his own image. And he created him, male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." And here it is again. Read it with me out loud. Fill the earth and what?
Have dominion.
Have authority over it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea. Have dominion over the birds of the air. Have dominion over every living thing that moves on the earth. Man, I want you to know, I want to bring us back to the center of God's will. You were created to be in fellowship with God and to have dominion on the earth. That's why God created you. He created you to be in fellowship with Him. All of creation God made for man. It all reveals His glory, but He gave it all to man. He makes all the things that you see, have ever seen on earth, and He says, "Hey, all of these are yours." Every animal, every hill, everything that moves, it's yours. I want you to have dominion over it. But you are mine. And I want to have fellowship with you. I created you in my image. You have the ability to know, to rule, to reign, to have authority, to have feelings, to know what it means to love, to know what it means to be in a relationship. To produce, to have offspring. We're created in the image of God in a myriad of ways. We're only scratching the surface. But here I want you to see, back in the center of God's will, here's what God said. "I created you for me. I want to have fellowship with you, and I want you to rule over everything I've created. I'm giving it to you as a stewardship. I'm entrusting it to you. This is God's will. This is the center of God's will. And nothing can change that. This is what God has for us. Now, many men today do not know what they're supposed to be. And there's a lot of reasons for that. We've lost sight of what God's direct will is, and we don't know what we're supposed to be. And it starts off when we're children, right? As kids, we grow up thinking that being a man means winning. And so we give ourselves completely to excel at sports, and we spend countless hours surfing or playing baseball or playing basketball or riding motocross or doing whatever. I got to go to Ryan's son's baseball game yesterday. It was so cool seeing these little 8-year-olds up there. And there was a little Asher on the mound just striking guys out right and left, right? It was amazing. And we grow up and we think, well, maybe that's what being a man is, just being really good at that kind of stuff. And if you weren't good at sports, then you did painting or acting or something like that, and modeling, or I don't know what you do, something different. if the shoe fits, you wear it, That's just the way it works. But you still try to thrive. You try to go for it. And then at puberty, something begins to happen, right? And we begin to think maybe women are our conquest. And so we work on, chasing women. And we work, now we've got this new goal. We want to see how many women we can win. And sometimes we get lost in that pursuit a little bit, and we actually become like sexual predators, man. We're just like preying on women, right? I mean, it's like, how many women can you sleep with? And that's the goal, right? And then we realize, wow, that's pretty empty. We sooner or later we wake up and we realize that there's got to be more to life than sports and sex. And sports and sex don't make us a man, right? We're still longing for something. And it's about that time we start realizing we've got to grow up, and we think, well, man, I want to get successful in business then. And I want to chase business. I want to be the king of the hill in business. I want to be powerful. I want to be rich. And so we work at dominating the business field that we're in. Whether it's real estate or making loans or sales or running a company or whatever, it makes no difference. CEO, we're trying to dominate in the business world. And we're trying to be the king of the hill. And so we climb the corporate ladder, we do all that we can, we step on whoever we have to, we do whatever it takes to make the money. And sooner or later, once again, we wake up. And we learn that being the king of the hill is a very lowly hill. It's a lonely place to be. And there's a lot of shrapnel along the way. There's broken relationships. There's divorce. There's people that we've wounded deeply. There's broken lives, shrapnel all around. We've trampled peers and associates to make our way to the top. And even if we are fortunate enough to make a lot of money on the journey, we get to a spot and we realize, wow, even being wealthy and powerful in business is empty. And so what do? Man, we press on and we're trying to figure it out. And then we have something else going on. It's the sway of the world. And presently, there's this sway we're being sold that men are now something really different. Men are to be sensitive and tolerant. And there's this clear move, man. You can't deny it. There is this clear move. I don't know how it's happening. It's a sway of the evil one for sure. There's a clear move that we're being emasculated. And there's this sway that's happening. It's real. It's, we're being told, hey, there's no right, there's no wrong. There are no genders of male and female. There's no roles of male and, you know, and female. You look at commercials, and you notice on commercials, there's always this guy, and he's doing the dishes, and he's watching the kids, and he's like being feminized, right? These vacuums are really nice, honey. You know, I mean, this new Blade air freshener is amazing, honey. It's like, have you noticed this? Yeah or no? Am I crazy? I'm not crazy, man. It's out there. Every speaking commercial is trying to neuter men. There's no question about it. I'm not imagining this. This is a sway going on in the world. Furthermore, we now no longer have two genders, right? We don't even know what male and female is. We got stars coming out this week saying I'm non-binary. No, you're confused. You're mentally ill. You got problems, right? And we want to be championed for being now non-binary. What the heck? And here's what's happening. There is a sway moving to take men away from men, what we have called to be. And if by any chance you are a successful white male, oh, you poor pathetic male chauvinist pig, man, you're like the bottom of the scum barrel right now if you're a white successful male. I mean, it is your problem. It is your fault. You are the one responsible for homelessness and welfare, and you're the one who's responsible for women being women and everything else in the world. It's your fault if you're a white successful male right now. What's going on? What's going on? Do you see what's going on? This isn't coincidence. There is a spiritual force in the world of good and of evil. And you are being led by one or the other. There is no neutral. You can say you're an atheist. I don't care. You're still being led by one or the other. There is no neutral. And the goal of the enemy is to emasculate men. And with all this chaos surrounding us, man, men simply do not know what they're supposed to be. They don't know what it means to be a man. And we wake up one day and we realize, wow, we've been neutered. And we're not leading anything. And we're not building anything. And we're not building anyone. We're not fighting anything. We are milk toast. Milk toast. Limpy? Soggy? Flimsy? Floppy? And absolutely nothing to respect. We're not powerful because we don't stand for anything. We're not warriors because we don't fight for anything. We're not leaders because no one's following us. Why? Here's why. Because no one wants to follow a limited, soggy, flimsy milk toast. And because of that, we have been stripped from God's purpose on our life, which was to have what? To take control, to lead, to fill, to protect, to empower. Who breaks up, who walk away from the center of God's will. Deep inside of us, we have this remnant that we are aware of. Deep inside of us, there's a part of us that's just hungry. We want to win. We want to conquer. And you know why you want to win? Because God built you. God created you to be victorious. Deep inside of us, we want to fight a good fight. Do you know why you want to fight a good fight? Because God created you to be a warrior. Deep inside of us, you want to be respected. And you know why? Because God designed you and created you to be a man of substance, a man of character. We were created by God to be warriors, to be victorious, to be leaders, to be builders of men, to be in fellowship with God, and to have dominion over all He entrusted us to. I want you to know that Jesus did not say, "Follow me, and I will make you a milquetoast, neuter soul who tolerates everything and stands for nothing." That's not what Jesus said, did He? What did He say? He said, "Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." What's that mean? Follow me, I'll make you a builder of men. I'll make you a builder of your sons and of your daughters. I'll make you a builder in your community. I'll make you a builder in your workplace. You will develop lives all around you. They will appreciate you. You will fight for things that really matter. You will go after things that are evil. You will have dominion over everything I've given you, and I will be with you in that dominion to give you victory, and you will be admired and respected. That's what God has called us to do. And I have been longing for this night to share this message with you, because I know, as sure as I'm standing here, this is the center of God's will. And when Jesus said, "If you ask anything according to my will, it's going to be done for you," some of you are getting beat up on every corner. And you're plugging in air fresheners going, "Honey, doesn't this smell great?" You've lost your role. And tonight it's time to reclaim it. Not violently, not with a major ego, not at all. No, in a godly way. And let me just tell you, there's not a woman in the world who does not want to follow a man who loves her like Christ loved the church. With wisdom and power and discernment and character, there's not a woman in the world who doesn't want to follow that. You will never have to ask them to follow your wife or want to follow you. You can follow you if you need that. And so I want to remind you of our men's ministry manifesto. It's on the back of your binders and it's on the screens. We have been created by God to embrace the call of God that is upon our life. This is God's purpose for us. And it has to start there. That's why men's ministry is so important. We are going to get taken away from the sway of the world that is bending us and neutering us and emasculating us. And we're going to come back to the center of God's will that says, "Hey, I created you for a purpose, to know me. I want to do life with you, and I want you to embrace this calling I have on your life." The second part of our men's ministry manifesto is that we would be men who are builders of other men. And by men, I mean men and women. That we would be pouring yourself out to lift others up and to build others up. You'd be fighting the fight. And I tell you what, it needs to start in our home first, to our wives and to our kids first, and then to our church and then to our community. So we'll talk more about these things in the weeks to come. That we would embrace the call of God upon our life. That we would be builders of other men. And thirdly, that we would reveal the lordship of Jesus Christ in our actions. The lordship of Jesus Christ, what does that mean? It means that He has authority over what we do, over what we say. We're not winging it. We're not guessing. There's a game plan. We're walking in it. We're not living for the lust of the flesh. We're living for the will of God. We're walking in the lordship of Jesus Christ. It means He's our authority. He's our boss. We know what He wants, and we do what He says. Now, none of us are going to do it perfectly. Don't think I'm laying down a law that we can never keep up. No, that's not it at all. The lordship of Jesus Christ has a tremendous room for grace and for failure and for mistakes and for everything else. But we do something proper with those mistakes and failures. What do? We bring them into the obedience of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we're superhuman. It means that we're walking in fellowship with our Savior, right? We're walking in fellowship with our Creator. His name is Jesus. And so it's important, right? It's important that we hold on to these things. It's our divine calling. Guys, I want to remind you, our mission is the mission of the highest order. Our purpose has eternal significance. Our battles are not fought to build our egos. Our battles are not fought to build our bank accounts. We're fighting for righteousness. We're standing for truth amidst a perverse generation. We are beacons of light who shine in a fog of mire and a fog of confusion, and we bring clarity and wisdom and discernment back to the table so that everyone can thrive. What is that girl's name that just came out of the binary? Demi Lovato. Do you think Demi Lovato is going to thrive with some man in her life saying, okay, Demi, if that's what you think? No, she's going to crumble. And we're going to be men who bring light and truth and just, man, we're going to defend the things that God calls us to defend. We're going to defend the weak. We're going to rebuild what has been raped and plundered. We're going to walk with Jesus, and our life is going to have significant purpose because we're in the center of God's will. And guys, I want to commend you. I want to encourage you. Well done for being here. I want to commend you for that. And I want to encourage you, stay focused on what God is still talking about right now. Stay focused on this journey. Because we're going to be looking at the life of David, and we're going to see how God builds a man after his own heart. He is a master builder. We become good builders because we watch how he builds. We just follow him. We're doing our father's carpenter shop, and we're learning how to work on the car as he works on it. We do what he does. We learn his ways. So we're going to take and we're going to watch. We're going to see how he pulls David from a young, ruddy kid and begins to build him to be a man of God. He's called a man after God's own heart. And we'll watch David make mistakes, and we'll watch David blow it, and we'll watch God guide him and bring him back on the right path until he finishes his work in him, and he is this mighty pillar that that's he is, which makes God. So this is God's plan for us, and this is what I want us to walk in. And I want you to know that we've stumbled from this, we've fallen from this, we've walked away from this. And you might want to ask, well, how did it happen? How did it happen that we got so mixed up? How is it that we don't even know if there's a male bathroom or a female bathroom? How is it that we don't even know how many genders there are? How did we get so messed up? How did we get so selfish? How did we ever become womanizers? How did we think making money? How did it happen? Well, flip over to Genesis 5, and we'll wrap up with this. Here's how it happened. Genesis chapter 5. Are you there?
No.
Give me a big amen if you're there.
Amen.
Oh, listen to that. A baritone amen. It sounds so good. Give me a big amen if you're there.
Amen.
So good. So good. Praise the Lord. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man and made him in the likeness of God. And he created a male and female. And he blessed them. And he called it mankind in the day that they were created. And he told Adam to have dominion over everything. And he made a beautiful woman for her. He said, Adam, take care of her. Watch over her. Be her spiritual head. Make sure she's safe. Build her. Pour into her. She's more easily deceived than you. She's more emotionally moved than you. Make sure you protect her and guide her. Right? That's what he says in verse 2. And look what happened. Verse 3. Then Adam lived 130 years and begot a son. What? Read these words for him. His own life. Of his own image. And he named him Seth. Here's what happened. Adam did not walk in the center of God's will. Adam did not walk under the lordship of God. Under the lordship. Adam abdicated his responsibility. Adam abdicated his dominion. Everything into heaven. And as a result, instead of Adam having a son in God's own likeness, Adam has a son of what? In his own likeness. And you and I have inherited God's
It's a legacy that's prone to get selfish, prone to get lazy, and prone to abdicate responsibility to God's goodness. It's a legacy that's prone to be folks. And nobody respects my folks. Look at this. Adam has a son in his image. He names him Seth. Poor Seth, man. I think he's Seth. Then he says here, I apologize. It was already going downhill, right? Seth. Verse 4. And he begot Seth, and the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Adam lived were 930 years. And these next three words, one word to say. God. He's dead. I want to go through it. We're not going to read it tonight for time's sake. You go through this genealogy over and over. And Seth has his child. And then it says, look at verse 8. So all the days of Seth were 912 years. And read words with me. What's it say? And he died in the image of his father. And on you go of each one of these sons. And here's what's happening. They're bearing wives. Last point I want to make tonight is this. Manhood begins and ends with the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And if you walk away from that, there is no way you can believe what God's called you to be. The only way we can have what God's called us to be is to come back into the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That is why God became a man. That we could be born again, not in the image of Adam, but in the image of who? Jesus Christ, being transformed in the image of Jesus Christ. And it's happening daily as we walk with Him. My life is being transformed daily as I abide in Jesus Christ. And so this is what He's called us to do. And unless we're born again, it's impossible to be the man that God's called us to be. Guys, I want you to know, we are not here tonight to clean up our act. We are not here tonight to improve. We are here to live new lives transformed by the power of Jesus Christ and come back to, by faith, the dominion that God has given us that we might walk in the image of God who created us to be in. And this isn't positive thinking. This is reality. This is God's will for us. And so maybe we walk in it tonight. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to be looking at the life of David. This is what men's ministry is all about. It's about reclaiming what has been lost. It's about bringing the world that was turned upside down and bringing it right back into the right order. It's about bringing our lives into the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what this series is all about, the making the man of God. God turned David's life from a life that was following in the footsteps of Adam, and he turned him around and made him into the making of the man of God. And that's what he does for all of us who abide in him. And so each week, here's what we're going to do. We're going to read a chapter in the Bible on the life of David. In your homework, there's a book you got. Hopefully you all have it. If you don't, we'll straight up the table. If you can't afford it, it's free. Don't worry about it. We're going to go through. There's 10 questions each week. The questions are going to help you understand the text. And they're also going to help you understand what? Yourself. I want you to be honest in these things. You're not here to put on a front. You're not here to impress others. That's what we're leaving. We're here to be real with each other. And we're here to be honest with each other. The things that we're struggling in. Some of you men are addicted to porn. No problem. God can handle that if we bring it to Him. You want to cover it up? You want to pretend like it's not there? Good luck. You might as well just go bowling on Tuesday nights. You're having fun, right? I mean, go bowling. Some of you have other addictions. We all have stuff. This is a place to be real and come together and begin to grow, begin to embrace this call. One of the things that David did was he humbled himself before God. And as long as you do that, God never goes, oh my gosh, I can't believe you got a porn addiction. I didn't know. Maybe I wouldn't have asked you or invited you to men's ministry. I didn't know you had that going. No, that doesn't work that way. You know. And when we're honest with Here's what happened. He says, no problem. I can handle that. Give it to me. You gotta open your hand. You gotta let it go. You gotta give it. And so this is what men's ministry is all about. We're gonna gather every Tuesday. We're gonna fellowship. We're gonna sing praises to Jesus because he's worthy of all praise. And then we're gonna break into small groups and we're gonna talk about what we learned in the big group. In the big group, we're gonna go through the verses verse by verse and we're gonna unpack it. You're gonna be amazed at the wisdom that comes out of this. And when you get to small groups, share your insights about the text. Ask questions about what you don't understand. If I said something, you don't agree with it. Say, I didn't agree with what Pastor David said up there. No problem. This is the place to come and talk, not to be limits, right? Not to be limits. There's a lot of limits in the world right now. So be real. I'm going to ask you to pray for each other as the week goes on. As we break into groups, guys are going to share things. And those things stay in your group. You don't tell your wife about it. You don't tell anybody else about it. I almost said that's witness ministry, but that would be horrible. So I didn't say that. And it's not true. I'm teaching in women's ministry and I'm over there. It's not true. But you know what I'm saying? Stay here in group. So we're way behind schedule. I'm going to dismiss you. But I want you to know, man, embrace this. And know this for sure. The enemy is going to try to sift you like wheat in the days to come. Because you are in the center of God's will. And if he can get you apart from this, if he can break you out of this, you're going to be like that gazelle the lion is hunting, right? And the moment that gazelle breaks away from the pack, what is that gazelle? It's dead. It's lion food, right? And Satan walks around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. He wants to devour you. And the only way he can do it is to get you out of this group. No, I'm not going to go tonight. I'm going to do whatever. You're making a mistake. Plan for traffic. Plan ahead. Make this a priority in your life. Make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the number one priority, and watch him give you dominion over your land again and make you into a son of God. Not my promises, his promises. Stand with me and let's pray.
You may freely share this message with others as long as you don't charge for it. Support for these broadcasts comes from your generous donations that allow us to give away our materials for free. To participate with us, please visit our website at themissionchurch.net. God bless.